We'll Call This Place Our Home by Perennials, read by Rhea 314. Fandom, Yuri on Ice. Pairing, Kotsky Yuri, Victor Nikiforov. Rating, general audiences, no archive warning supply. Is there anything you really want right now? Victor asks one day, because it's the middle of November and he's still clueless as to what exactly to do about a present for a very specific someone. The fact that it's nigh 6 in the morning is a testament to his helplessness and investment in the matter. After a moment of silence, Yuri shifts against Victor's body and lets out a string of loose, slurred Japanese. He opens one eye blearily, barely registering his dimly lit surroundings. Katsudon? Yuri is still half asleep. Probably. Grumbling into his pillow with one arm looped around Victor's waist. Victor can't help but smile. Now? Are you sure, love? Painstakingly peeling his other eyelid open, Yuri brings a hand up to trace the silver of moonlight glittering on Victor's face. Even in the pregnant pause of darkness, his eyes are lit with stars, irises speckled with fairy dust. It's too early for this, Victor. He sighs. He pulls Victor closer and presses a sleep-soft kiss to his lips, then nuzzles back into the crook of his neck. Go to sleep. Victor would be lying if he said the gesture doesn't make his heart lurch. What did I do to deserve someone like you? He thinks as he rests his chin on Yuri's head and tries to slow his trilling heartbeats. Yuri would laugh at him if he noticed, he's sure of it. So, sleep, then. Victor kind of wants to kiss him again, but his mind helpfully supplements the current time and a list of reasons not to, on which getting punched by your boyfriend is at the very top. You're an idiot. Oh. Yuri's got a palm flat against Victor's chest. He's smiling against Victor's neck, so very, very warm. Yes, sleep. I'll be here in the morning. We can talk then. Victor feels like a kid. A pampered, much-loved kid. Oh, okay. He sleeps fitfully this time. Victor wakes up in the morning to a large, empty bed. Yuri is a liar. A liar. Your boyfriend went off to the department store, Mari says nonchalantly from the kitchen. Victor is flabbergasted. What? Why? She shrugs. Ask him, not me. Victor slumps into an empty seat, feeling like an abandoned puppy. A very cute one, albeit. Say, do you think there's anything Yuri would like as a present? Hmm? What do you mean? Because his, you know. Victor flails his arms around, struggling to find a way to get his meaning across without dropping the birthday bomb. He gives up. November 29th. It is soon. Oh, Mari hums in acknowledgement. It is, isn't it? Victor watches her expectantly, puppy eyes large and round and sparkling. Well, why don't you ask him yourself? Although he'd probably be happy no matter what you got him. She flashes him a lazy, cat-like grin, then disappears back down the hallway. Victor's head hits the table with a thud. Oh, how the cruelty of the Kotsky family hurts him. He is a man of action, not contemplation. These are not familiar grounds. When Yuri slides the front door open and announces his return some 20 minutes later, Victor hasn't budged an inch from the floor. He remains lifeless against the smooth, cool wood until Yuri sets a bag down in front of him and the sound jolts him upright. Have you ever tried okonomiyaki? Comes a familiar, gentle voice. Yuri beams at him and Victor's heart is suddenly beating normally again. His spirits have been renewed. All is right in the world. No, he replies. November 29th. Soon, soon. All but forgotten. But I'd like to. The okonomiyaki is delicious and delectable and a worthy distraction. By the time Victor remembers the existence of his noble quest, a few days have passed. He tries Yuri's father next. As it is, subtlety in conversation has never been his strong suit, and after a few lines of polite chatter, the exact same question spills out of him again. "Our Yuri, you say?" Toshiya looks pleasantly amused. He swirls the cup of tea in his hand slowly like it's an act of meditation. He's a good kid. Never really complained much when he was younger and worked harder than anyone else at what he loved. He never asked us for anything outside of ice skating essentials. He chuckles to himself. Toshiya's words take the edge off Victor's heavy sense of urgency, the fondness in his voice shining through as clearly as summer skies. Yeah, he's a good kid. Victor agrees, like they're not talking about a man who's on the precipice of 24. We did buy him a lot of posters of you, though. It was basically the only thing he showed an interest in apart from skating, Toshiya adds on as an afterthought. He'd bring home stacks of magazines and then cut out every photo of you he could find. An image appears in Victor's mind of a tiny Yuri, lying on his stomach on the floor, sports magazines spread out all around him as he carefully, painstakingly cuts along the straight edges as best as his small hands will allow him to. Victor can picture exactly how his eyebrows are furrowed, his frown lopsided as he chews on the inside of his mouth. Yuri must have been adorable as a kid, he decides. Just how much did Yuri like me? He wonders aloud. Oh, very, very much. Toshiya looks up from his tea. That, I believe, hasn't changed at all. So, about Yuri. Victor falls into step behind Hiroko. She looks over her shoulder and smiles warmly at him, hefting the cardboard box further up in her arms. Yes? As they walk into the storage room and leave the boxes stacked up against the far wall, what do you usually do for his birthday? Not very much, actually. He's always been a quiet kid. Wasn't very fond of big celebration and the like, so we generally stuck to small parties at home with just a few of his close friends. I don't know how the last 5 years went, but I imagine it wasn't much different. Hiroko pats him on the shoulder and makes for the exit. What should I do for his birthday? Genuine bafflement colors Victor's face, draws his expression into something more vulnerable, less camera-ready. Hiroko stops in the doorway and turns back to him. What do you think would make him the happiest? Her voice is patient, understanding. She pauses to think, then continues. Did you know that Yuri once came to us crying in the middle of the night, because he dreamed about making it to the Grand Prix final and shaking hands with you? Victor flushes bright pink, his heart stuttering weakly in his chest. I made Yuri cry once before I even met him. He doesn't know if he wants to laugh triumphantly at the sky or drill a hole to Canada with the force of his guilt. No, he says quietly. Our Yuri's let you get closer to his heart than anyone else in the world. Trust your own judgment more, Vitya. Hiroko vanishes around the corner. But I'm not good at judging people, Victor calls after her. I'm not a good judge of anything. Yuri's phone buzzes with a reply, and he snorts at whatever pops up on the screen. Victor lifts his head off Yuri's chest. Yuko says Yuri is planning on sending me a leopard print sweater for my birthday. He doesn't look mad or annoyed. In fact, he looks pretty happy. The little ice tiger's heart is thawing, Victor sings, tracing a cartoon heart across Yuri's shirt. He lets his head fall back onto Yuri's chest. A few minutes slip by in comfortable silence, Victor humming tunelessly with his hands around Yuri's torso, while the other continues tapping away at the keypad. What do you want for your birthday, Yuri? What? Yuri raises an eyebrow at him. I said, Victor mumbles, almost sulking. What do you want for your birthday? Yuri slides his glasses back up the bridge of his nose, face turned up to the ceiling. Nothing, really. Are you sure? Levering himself up on his elbows, Victor shimmies further up so he's eye to eye with Yuri. Well, I mean, I've got no shortage of money, darling. The world is at your fingertips. Yuri averts his gaze, cheeks rosy red. You, I guess. Forever. For a second, Victor forgets to breathe. You're closer to his heart than anyone else in the world. That is a very big thing to want, he remarks, feigning amusement. Forever, his heart repeats. Victor buys a ring. The celebrations are kept relatively low-key, as low-key as a world-class figure skater in Japan's ace can have them, anyway. The Kotsky family, Victor included, is at Yuri's bedroom door at the break of dawn, ready to drag him out of his room at a moment's notice. When the silence becomes insultingly loud, one of them turns the knob and lets Makachin tackle Yuri to the bed, simultaneously crushing both his ribcage and hopes of getting more sleep. Hiroko makes katsudon, naturally, and Victor helps out where he can. Yuri says it's the best he's had in his entire life. Fichit and a few of the other figure skaters FaceTime him and send him birthday wishes, along with the occasional flash of ass or bare skin. Yurio's sweater, plus a stack of fan letters, arrives in the mail just in time, and Yuri's Twitter blows up with birthday messages from across the globe. It's a small, quiet occasion, mostly, but it's warm. By nightfall, everyone is blissfully drunk, either laughing giddily at a vase somewhere or passed out on the floor. Victor comes across Hiroko collecting half-full glasses in the guest area and asks her where Yuri is. He's in his room. She winks knowingly at him. He finds Yuri sitting on his bed, with his feet hanging off the side, scrolling on his phone. Hey. Yuri startles, then relaxes visibly when he sees Victor lingering by the door. What are you doing standing over there? Yuri chuckles and gestures to the bed. On his request, Victor shuffles closer, but stops when he bumps against Yuri's knee. Sensing that there's something more Victor wants to say, he locks his phone and tosses it aside. Happy birthday, Victor says, for the fifth or sixth time that day. I got you something. Oh, you didn't have to, really. Yuri laughs, bashfully, scratches the back of his head with one hand. Suddenly, Victor is not towering over him anymore, but down on one knee on the floor. Yuri stops laughing. Because Victor's pulled something out of his pocket. The something is a box, pretty and jet black and velvety, its clasp yielding easily to his careful touch. Inside the small box is a ring. Yuri doesn't speak for a full minute, just gapes at him in shock, stunned statue still and face thoroughly cleared of all emotion. With a twinge of unease, Victor is reminded of the day of the Cup of China free skate, silent tears and bitter hurt. And then Yuri starts crying. He actually starts crying, big fat droplets flooding down his cheeks and leaving tear stains on the fabric of his pants. I'm sorry, He's not just crying, but laughing, Victor realizes with a jolt. What the hell have I done? He's ready to drill that hole to Canada right now. He almost drops the box, ring and tiny satin cushion and all. You said forever. Forever, right? I didn't hear you wrong, did I? No, it's... Yuri lets out a string of rapid-fire Japanese, which mostly sails over Victor's head. God, did he really say that? He's pretty sure Yuri just thanked God. He closes his fingers around Victor's wrist and tugs him onto the bed. His hands shoot out to brace themselves on the mattress. Yuri cradles his face between his hands like he's holding the most fragile thing. Forever is good, Yuri whispers, warm breath ghosting along his skin. Wait, I haven't even asked you yet. Let me say it first. Victor flushes a deeper shade of red than him, scrambling around in the sheets for the elusive box. Yuri doesn't say anything, just watches him with a sugar-sweet fondness. Found it. Victor holds up the ring like a carnival prize. He takes Yuri's hand in his, puts on his most serious face. Will you marry me? Yuri gives him a smile so heartbreakingly tender, Victor dies and is reincarnated 100 times over in the space of 1 second. Yes, yes, yes! Victor really wants to kiss him again. He wants to kiss him so bad it hurts. Can I? Yuri's lips are on his before he can finish his sentence. He kisses light into Victor's mouth, and he opens up like the gentlest, softest dream. To everyone's surprise, Victor is the first one to cry at the wedding. Yuri wipes away his tears with a pat of his thumb, and kisses both of his eyelids, and acts cool and collected, but dissolves into tears 2.5 minutes later. They both sniffle their way through most of the formalities, dressed in matching $1,000 suits and squinting through watery eyes. It's everything they ever wanted. It's perfect. The end. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.